And what they were doing, they were putting away, that's what the early translations call it, when they divorced their wives, they were putting away their Hebrew wives because they were in exile and they were entering into marriage with these foreign women. And maybe one of the reasons why they were doing that, because if you wanted to buy and sell and have commerce in these foreign lands where they were in exile, you had to be a part of that community and you had to marry into it. In the same way, kings back in the old days, in the old biblical times, would take on multiple wives. A lot of times they took on wives from a different kingdom in order to bring about a peace treaty with that kingdom. So there was many reasons why people had multiple wives and married multiple women. But God said that marriage was supposed to be between one man and one woman, right? And that was a covenant for life. And they were breaking this covenant, so he's calling them out on it. And he says, have we not all one Father? Did not one God create us? And that's true. You know, we see in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, he says, how great is the love that God has lavished on us that we are to be called the children of God, because that is what we are. We have entered into a relationship with God, and he has received us as sons and daughters. And he told us to be fruitful and to multiply and to marry, and we have done that. Amen. How many of you guys remember when you got married? You remember? I can barely remember 40 years ago. I had more hair and I was about half the man I am right now, but I remember. So why do we profane the covenant of our fathers by breaking faith with one another? We entered into a marriage covenant when we got hitched with our wives and united with them. And sometimes I think most people, when we got married, I believe it said something about we would, before God and our and all the witnesses that were there, that we would promise to love, to cherish, to honor, right? But sometimes we forget that, don't we? Well, that covenant that these men of Israel had entered into was broken because they were putting away the wives of their youth, their Hebrew women, and they were entering into marriage with these foreign women who brought their worship of foreign gods with them. And it says that Judah broke faith, and they had been faithless in the new. They said it's in the New Revised Standard Version. It says they were faithless, and an abomination, and a detestable thing had been committed in Israel and Jerusalem. Judah had desecrated the sanctuary of the Lord that the Lord loves by marrying the daughter of a foreign god. Malachi is saying that because these men were divorcing their Hebrew wives and their sisters and marrying foreign women who worshipped idols, they were being unfaithful to the covenant of God's institution of marriage, but they did it in the Lord's sanctuary. The priests were doing these things. They were conducting these marriages, and it was sin in the eyes of the Lord. Deuteronomy 7, chapter 7, verse 3 and 4 says, do not intermarry with them, and do not give your daughters to their sons or their daughters for their sons, for they will turn your children away from following me to serve other gods, and the Lord's anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you. They didn't pay attention and heed God's warning, did they? You know, in verse 12, it confirms his resolve, too. It says, as for the man who does this, whoever he may be, may the Lord cut him off from the tents of Jacob, even though he brings offerings to the Lord Almighty. You know, and so many times, I think it's earlier in chapter 2, just let me read this. It just brought it to mind because I was sharing this last night. He said, and I'm just going to read a few verses here in chapter 2, verse 1, starting out. It says, and now this admonition is for you, O priest. If you do not listen, if you do not set your hearts to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have already cursed them because you have not set your heart to honor me. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants, and I will spread on your faces the offal of your festival sacrifices. You will be carried off with it, and you will know that I have sent you this abomination so that my covenant with Levi may continue, that says the Lord Almighty. My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. The instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, and from their mouth men should seek instruction, because he is a messenger of the Lord Almighty. But you have turned from the way, and by your teaching have caused many to stumble, and you have violated your covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So I have caused you to be despised and humiliated before all people, because you have not followed my ways and shown partiality to the matters of the law. You know, he was given the priest a stern warning there, and he said he wasn't going to bless their offerings any longer. And he was going to, it says, I will spread on your faces the offal from your festival sacrifices. The sacrifices that they brought, he wasn't honoring. He was rubbing it in their faces. So he says, another thing that you do is you flood the Lord's altar with tears, and you weep and you wail because he no longer pays attention to your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. So you ask, why? It is because the Lord is acting as a witness between you and the wife of your youth, because you have broken faith with her, and though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. God means what he says, and he expects us to honor that covenant. You know, and a lot of our young people, some of our old people here, have been through my premarital classes on, we use the Song of Solomon. Several of you have been through that. You know, God means what he says when he talks about marriage between a man and a woman. You know, in the marriage ceremonies that I do for the folks that I marry, men, you remember your promises to your wives? I think on almost every one of them, it was something like this. It was kind of unconventional, but it said this. I insert your name, take you, insert your wife's name to be your husband. I promise to endow you with all of my heart's affection, all of my earthly possessions, and all the honor of my name, and to share with you in the grace of our God. To honor them with all their heart's affection, all their earthly possessions, and the honor of your name. And a man's name is his character, guys. Solomon chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it talks about that. He says, the wife says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for his kiss is like pure honey or something that way. But then it says this, your name is like perfume, like purified oil. Purified oil was used in temple worship, right? It was used in temple worship. And what she was referring to was, your name is holy. Your character is holy. You know, men, you want your wives to respect you. Are you respectable? Are you honoring and respecting the covenant and the promises that we made to our wives? I don't know about you, my toes are starting to hurt a little bit. I've been married 40 years. And I'm a poster child for what not to do in a marriage. I'm pretty sure for the first 20 years of my married life, I made life for my wife hell. It wasn't a blessing. An indictment against me was the word she spoke one day, surrounded by her three sons, tears in her eyes. And she said she felt like she was the loneliest woman in the world. Oh, God, forgive me. Forgive my self-centeredness. Forgive my putting others before my God and my wife. Because, see, I wasn't living for the Lord back then, and I didn't know how to love my wife the way that Christ loved the church. I broke my marriage covenant in almost any way that there possibly could be broken. I wasn't faithful in so many things. I never had another woman, but I had plenty of mistresses, my buddies, my hobbies, my jobs. All these things I put before the one that I promised to love just slightly less than God. Maybe I'm sorry. Because as Proverbs tells us that our wives are a gift from God and a blessing. But do we affirm that in our homes? When was the last time you guys looked at your wife and said, I appreciate you. I thank God that he gave you to me? Because so many times we let the things of this world interfere with the most blessed covenant that God's given us. And he means for it to be a blessing, not a curse. That was his plan from the beginning. You know what the Eden means? It means delight. And that's what our marriages are supposed to be. So many times we forget and we take for granted. Can you remember back when you got married and the promises you made before God and all the witnesses that were there? There's a reason why it says that another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and you wail because he no longer pays attention to your offerings and accepts them with pleasure from your hands. You've broken that covenant with him. And the tears that were on that altar weren't just the tears of the men, because God wasn't blessing their unions with these foreign women. It was the tears of the women who were being abandoned by their husbands for no reason. Because they could put their wives away for any reason. It wasn't just about adultery, it was for any reason. If they didn't give them children, if they didn't give them boys, if they didn't like their cooking, they could put them away for almost anything. This was a hard, hard lesson for me, because it reminded me of my past. But you know what? Our God is a loving God, and this illustration that we see is also, when we look at the relationship we have with our wife, it also kind of reminds us of the relationship we have with our God, right? In Hosea, the prophet, he had to go marry a harlot. Because God says, this is how my people are to me. They're unfaithful. So when we take for granted the blessedness of the union that we entered into with our wives, and we don't honor that, how can we honor God? If we can't honor a mortal that we can see and we can touch and we can live with every day, if we can't honor them, and honor the covenant we entered in with them, how are we going to enter into the covenant with God on a faithful basis? Because that relationship that we have in our homes with our spouses should resemble and look a whole lot like the relationship we have with God. Are you following me? Because most of the time when I have to do crisis counseling, it's because men and women who made that covenant have a problem with their relationship with God, because they're not seeking him first. And because they're not seeking him first and they're not submitting to him, they won't submit and serve their wives either. They want to be submitted to, but they don't want to submit to anyone. But in God's design, as a husband walks his path towards God and a wife walks her path toward God, what happens? The wife gets closer to God, the husband gets closer to God, and they draw closer to one another. That's the way God designed it to happen. I didn't know how to love my wife the way God intended until I started loving God. For 20 years, the first 20 years of my life as a married man, I didn't understand that. But in March 2000, when I dedicated my life to the Lord, you guys, a lot of you were there and you saw it, that became a changing point for my life when my eyes were opened up to the covenant that I had with God and the covenant that I had with my wife. And for the last 20 years, I've been trying to rectify my wrong. I can't ever undo the past. But boy, sure try to make the future a whole lot better. Because when I hurt her, I hurt me. That's the way it's supposed to be. God says that a man shall leave his mother and father and be united with his wife, and the two become, look a little further. It says that if you ask why, it is because the Lord is acting as a witness between you and the wife of your youth, because you have broken faith with her, though she is your partner, your wife, the wife of your marriage covenant. Has not the Lord made them one? In flesh and in spirit they are his. And why one? Because he was seeking godly offspring. Husbands and wives, your children are watching you. Back years ago when we were doing a Bible study called Experiencing God with Young Men, it talked about, you know, God or Jesus watching his Father at his work. I think it's in John 5, it says that today my Father is at his work and I too am working. Because the Father loves the Son, he shows him all that he does. And the Son can't do anything except what he sees his Father doing. I used to use that in the jail, that illustration in the jail, and I said, what did you show your children? And I had a guy that one time got up and he says, you know, this is so true. One day he said, I was walking in the living room and I seen my little boy in the living room. He had a screwdriver and he was doing this to his arm. And he said, son, what are you doing? He said, Daddy, I want to be like you. He had seen his dad shooting up drugs and he was imitating what he was seeing his daddy do. Does that not send a shiver down your spines? Well, boys and girls, your children are watching. The two become one flesh so that they produce godly offspring. You can only produce godly offspring by setting an example in your home. That's what God wants. That's what God had envisioned and planned before self-centeredness and sin entered the world. It says then, it's another admonition, so guard yourself and your spirit. Do not break faith with the wife of your youth. Do not break this marriage covenant. Do not. And ladies, I'm going to tell you something. Young ladies, unmarried ladies, you know, being single and alone is tough. But you can ask my wife, a young wife, married for just a few years, 3 babies, how lonely and how tough it is to be married and feel alone. You hold off and you wait for the one God has put in your life. You don't compromise for any reason. God has someone for you. And when you find that someone, that union that you enter into will be a blessed one. You wait and you pray and you keep seeking the Lord. What's the Lord say? That if we seek him first, he'll give us all the desires of our heart. But we got to love him more than anything else. And when that, then you're seeking his face. You know, if you ever hear the testimony of Brandy and Nathaniel sometimes, you need to see how they come together. Because I believe that was strictly God that did that. They weren't looking for each other, but God brought them together. And so many times we want to go run around, and especially in girls, they'll get some guy and they want to play Holy Spirit and they think you're going to change him. And he won't change because he's not submitted to God, and he won't submit to you or anybody else. So we need to be mindful of that. And boys, a young unmarried man, you want a godly wife? Be a godly young man. Be the kind of person that the person that's praying for you, looking for you, is looking for. Character matters. Character matters. Be on your guard. Do not break faith with the wife of your youth. Because why? In verse 16 it says, I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. And I hate a man's covering himself with violence as well as with his garment, says the Lord Almighty. So guard yourself in spirit and do not break faith. He hates divorce. But God allowed the Israelites to get divorced because of what? The hardening of their hearts. He allowed divorce to happen because of the hardening of their hearts. But then he says this, that he says that I hate a man's covering himself with violence as well as his garment. His garment in the Hebrew, it's an idiom for his wife. A man's covering is his wife. His garment is his wife. Song of Solomon 8:6, I believe it says, it's, place me like a seal over your heart and on your arm. Let me see if I can find it. I wrote it down here somewhere. I get so far ahead of myself. I take all these notes and I hardly ever use them. Yeah, here it is. Place me like a seal over your heart and like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death. Its jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like a blazing fire, like a mighty flame, the flame of God. How did God present himself to the Israelites as he was leading them out of Israel? What was it, by what? Fire by day? Or what was it? Fire, smoke by day, fire by night, right? His love burns like a blazing fire. And many waters cannot quench love. Rivers can't wash it away. If one were to give all of the wealth of his house for love, it would be utterly scorned. That's the kind of love that God has for us. You can't buy it. And that's the kind of love that we have for one another. It's priceless and it's precious. And we entered into that covenant because of it, because someone was precious to us. And our garment, men, our companion is our wives. And when we do violence, it's not just to them that we're doing violence, because we're one. If we hurt them, we hurt ourselves. We hurt ourselves. We have entered into this covenant because they were precious to us. They're a blessing from God. And if we can't get this straight, this very fundamental foundation of the family unit of the husband and the wife, then it all falls apart. The nation perishes because of it. In the United States of America, we're not doing very good in this covenant, are we? So he says, guard yourself and your spirit and do not break faith. Each and every one of us probably can be better lovers of our wives. Amen? Men, are you hearing me? Because this is mostly directed to you guys. You're supposed to be the spiritual leaders of your household. And in the Song of Solomon, you guys remember, guys that's been a part of it, in every aspect in the Song of Solomon, in the art of dating and courtship, in the art of marriage and intimacy, in the art of conflict resolution, in the art of romance, and in the art of commitment, the guy leads. You're called to be the leader of your wife. You, I think it's in Ephesians 5 where it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, washing her through the word with water, presenting her holy and blameless. We are to be ministers to our wives, to lift them up and elevate them. You know, when I started going through the Song of Solomon, I've went through it probably 100 times now. But every time I do, I get convicted because I fall short in all these areas of leading my wife in all these things. And one of the things that I think we fail to do in so many cases is to speak words of affirmation to our wives. We have neglected. They need to hear it. You know, in Song of Solomon, back in, I think it's chapter 2, it says, "Come out of the rocks, little dove, the cleft of the rocks, for your form is lovely and your voice is sweet. Let me hear it." You know? We want to hear our wives' opinions. We want to hear our wives speak, but our wives want to hear us too. But they want, we can speak to them and communicate to them in a very, very negative way, but we can also speak life and love into them. Women, what's it say in Proverbs 31? Charm is deceitful, beauty is fleeing, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Let the works of her hands praise her at the city gates. We need to take our wives and to look them in the eyes and say, "I am so thankful and I am blessed because of you. You have been faithful to me. You have been a good mother. You've been a good steward of our finances." My wife is the minister of Warren Finance in my family. I don't know if she, we've been married. We'll be married 40 years here in May, but we've been together for longer than that. And she's received my paycheck before we were even married, and I never saw it. And she's been faithful and a good steward of what God has given us for sustenance. A lot of times there wasn't enough money to make the ends meet, but she made them do it somehow. And if we have a wife that's faithful to us, if we have a wife that's loving, if we have a wife that's been a good mother and a teacher to our children, we need to pay them with praise. And we need to not neglect this covenant we've entered into to keep them precious and honored and loved. So as we get in and ready to enter into communion time, I'm going to challenge you guys right now. We're going to take about 5 minutes. And if you're here with your wife, guys, I want you to turn towards them and look them in the eye and tell them just what a blessing they are to you. Can you do that today? Can you do that today? Your wife's not here. You can tell her no. But if you're here, and I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but I just feel like